You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning. My name is Balthazar. I was asked to come and visit with you guys today. Y'all know me, right? You've heard of this. Is a good time of year for you guys and me. We don't get talked about much throughout the year. The wise men, the magi, they talk about the three of us as if there were only three. There were a whole lot of us. You think three of us wandered across the desert alone? No, we were in quite a pack. But I'm here today to tell you about what I experienced. I've heard that there are people who question what I've experienced, what it mattered, and I'm here to tell you the good news that I witnessed. My story starts as a young child. Being a magi is something you're usually born into, and my father was a magi as well. He enjoyed looking at the stars. He would take me out as a young child, and I would say, "Dad, where is this constellation?" He would point. And then we'd go out a few days later and I'd say, "Dad, where is it now?" And he'd point somewhere else. My father knew where every star in the sky was. He and all of the other magi of our area had them mapped out. So every season was marked, every day was marked, what time of night. He knew where to look, where in the sky to look. And growing up in that environment, I grew to know and understand the stars, where our place is among the stars. My father was a man, we were in Ctesiphon. Y'all may not know where Ctesiphon is. It's a city that's in disrepair now. But basically, Ctesiphon is what you would call, I don't know, outer Baghdad area of the world. And I grew up in Ctesiphon, the royal city of the Parthian Empire. And here I was in the city with all the other magi, and we would tell the stories of the magi gone before us. And one of my father's favorite stories was the greatest of our kind under Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The Babylonian Empire fell to the Persians. The Persian Empire fell to the Greeks. The Parthian Empire reigned in the Greeks' place. But there was a magi in Babylon who knew more than anyone of that day and age. His name was Daniel. And Daniel was a Jew, a Hebrew, who had been taken to Babylon under the great king Nebuchadnezzar, and was placed in Nebuchadnezzar's service. And the further Daniel went, the more it became apparent he understood the times. And Daniel wrote books and scrolls for us to go through. And so my father would break those scrolls out from time to time to tell us the stories that Daniel had predicted would occur. And his favorite story dealt with the four kingdoms that would take place. That Babylon would come and go, and another kingdom would come and go, and a third kingdom would come and go, and a fourth kingdom, the Parthian Empire, would come. And inside of our empire, while we were still there, this individual would be revealed that Daniel called the Son of Man. And the Son of Man would come. And my dad said, "Son, Balthazar, we are that fourth kingdom." And he said, "So we need to be looking for signs for when the Son of Man that Daniel told us about would come." And so we watched the stars, and my father died without ever seeing what I saw. But one day I was out looking at the stars, as was my course, and that star was where it should be, and that star was where it should be, and that one was where it should be, but that one was not where it should be. Something was wrong. I got my charts out. I looked it up again to make sure that my memory wasn't failing me. And sure enough, those stars were wrong. I called my friends over, my fellow magi. We gathered together and we looked at the charts together. And I said, "Do you see that star right there? It's not supposed to be there." See, stars are always where they're supposed to be. And they agreed, it isn't where it should be. That star is out of place. That star isn't where it should be. And I said, that is the sign. That is the sign that the king has come to Jerusalem. That Daniel's son of man, this one who's going to be, there's 70 weeks prophecies tied in with him as well. But this king, the son of man, is going to be born. We must go and see him. There's several hundred of us magi, and we were in the room discussing this, and only, you know, a few handful of us decided to take the journey. Everyone saw the star. Everyone could tell that it wasn't where it should be, but only a couple of us decided it was worth following the star. You know, I think that's true of your day as well. People can see the truth of Jesus. They've heard the story of this child who grew to be a man to die for the sins of the world. But even though they see it, they're not ready to take the steps to go and to worship him. But me and those who were with me set out to follow wherever it would lead. We knew that Jerusalem was the head of the Jewish religion, the Hebrew religion, and so we set ourselves towards Jerusalem. Today, you would take a plane or a car or a highway. We had camels back then. Camels which would take us a solid 2.5 miles a day. Yeah, we were 2.5 miles an hour. We're just riding 10, 12 miles a day. You know how long it takes to get from Ctesiphon to Jerusalem? 4 months. 4 long months. Eating food that tasted good when you got on the road, but not so good after month 1 or 2. We followed the Euphrates River north, and when we ran out of river, we headed across the desert west. This is a common caravan route. In fact, it's one of the most ancient routes that have been traveled in that region of the world. The father of the Jews, Abraham, traveled that same route to go from Ur of the Chaldees to the promised land in Canaan. I wondered sometimes as I was traveling and sitting on a rock as we were preparing our food and our food was being prepared for us to eat. I was wondering, you know, is this the rock that Father Abraham once sat on? You know, the rocks don't change very much. They're kind of like stars. They are where they're supposed to be. But it was a costly journey. 4 months of our life, walking, riding a camel, eating old food, dried food. Y'all have jerky today, right? Our jerky was not as appetizing as the years and months went on. Eventually, we make it into Jerusalem. We get some advice that the baby was to be born. This king of the Jews was going to be born in the town of Bethlehem. So we travel through Jerusalem another 5 or so miles into Bethlehem, and we are struck at what we see. This 4-month-old child being held by his mother with Joseph nearby. Just a child. We've seen a lot of kids in my life. It's not new to see a child. Most of you have seen a baby before. I saw a baby coming in the room earlier, a little one there. It's just a baby, 4 months old, sitting in his mother's lap, being held, passed off to Joseph, passed off to the family members. And we thought, is this truly the Daniel's son of man? But the stars rarely lie, and we knew that the sign in the sky was directing us to him. And so we did exactly what you're supposed to do when you come into the presence of royalty. We bowed ourselves and paid homage to this little boy king. We humbled ourselves before him. The same way that you're supposed to humble yourselves when you come into the presence of the King of Kings. You know, it's interesting that term, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus took that term as he got later into his life. You know, that's the same term that our king, and the Parthian Empire claimed for himself that he was the King of Kings. Mistaken as he was, but we worshiped this child king. Right? The whole purpose was to set out to worship this king. And we brought gifts, you know the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You've heard the story. I think that's why you've only got three of us in your nativity sets here today. But we brought gold and we handed it off to the poor parents. And we brought frankincense and we brought myrrh. These were gifts for us to recognize that he, this child, was king. Our gifts didn't make him a king, but he was a king. And we wanted to recognize and humble ourselves before his authority, his four-month-old authority, that he was indeed the king. We gave the very best that we had. We didn't give whatever we had laying around. And there's a lesson there for you as well. A lot of times when you give, you're tempted to give what you have left over, as if reheated, third-day-old enchiladas is what the King of Kings is worth to you. We hold the best back for ourselves often. We did not. We gave everything we had, the best of what we had, the finest of what we had, the best quality frankincense that we could acquire, the highest quality myrrh that we could get, because this king was worthy of all sacrifice for us. When you come in the presence of a king, you are presented with an option, though. Will you worship the king? Or will you not worship the king? This option is really important because before we made it to Bethlehem, we did stop off and we spent the night in the palace with the king, Herod the Great. By the way, you're an arrogant person when you give yourself the moniker, Herod the Great, as if that's some term that was given to him, right? It's like me calling myself a wise man, right? That's sort of a little bit arrogant, but here I am. So we spent the night with Herod the Great because we needed to know where to go. If the king wasn't in Jerusalem, where would this king of the Jews be born? And he sent one of his advisors and they looked up and the scriptures said it would be Bethlehem. That's how we got there. But as we were leaving the next morning, Herod stopped me and he said, Balthazar, and I said, yes, sir. He said, when you find him, come back, tell me where he is so that I can worship him too. Now the stories of Herod were well known across the region. Herod was a petty, vengeful, insecure man. He killed his own brother for fear of his brother taking the throne from him. Herod was so insecure, he would not allow a king to be born, a king to be acclaimed in his region. And I knew as soon as he told me that when he said he wants to worship the king, it means that he wanted to put to death this king. See, we have a choice to what we're going to do with the king. Will we worship him or will we refuse to do so? Will we elevate ourselves above him or will we humble ourselves before him? Herod wanted to be above all. We were perfectly happy to give worship to the one who is above all things. So we spent the day there. It was a weird day, giving gifts in a small, little, cramped house. We're all piled into the town of Bethlehem. You look outside, there's camels as far as you can see. Each of us taking our turn to go see Mary and Joseph and this son of man, baby, Jesus. I was told the name Jesus means the Lord saves. And as I got older, we saw the salvation of the Lord through him. We left that place and we went a different way. We went a different way because if we had gone back to Jerusalem, Herod would have required us to tell him where the baby was or he would have killed us. And so we said, we're going to bypass Jerusalem. It added another 4 days on to our journey. But what's 4 days when you're looking at another 4 months? And so we took a long route around Jerusalem. Changed, different, never the same. And as we went, we discussed what sort of child this would be. But what's he going to do? We went back into Daniel's writings and we looked at the predictions of how the Jewish God would come and destroy kingdoms and establish this day of the Lord. And we waited for that to happen. When you come into the presence of God, you leave changed. You can't come out the same way as you went in. That's what we realized as we wandered back. But I often thought about those who didn't come with us. Those back home in Ctesiphon, still spending their nights looking at the stars, seeking for meaning, missing out on the only true meaning in the world that was found in the arms of a loving mother in a small town in Bethlehem. Guys, you're here today. You came here today. You woke up, you got dressed, you came here to see a time-traveling wise man. Good job. For some of you, that was a good sacrifice. It took a lot for you to do that. I want you to know, no matter how far you think you've come, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came further for you. He came to save you, and he came to rule your life. Not as a king like Herod, who's seeking through his own insecurity to demand from you, but to direct you in ways towards God's good plan. So my question for you is this: will you worship him? Are you ready to worship him? Are you ready to humble yourselves as we did, to fall on your face before the Son of Man, and to give the very best that you have in honor of the one who came to save you? He came to save you. You're here today. Why have you come here? My hope is that you'll believe on that Son of Man for your salvation, that you can trust in him, and that you might find eternal life that was started all those years ago in a small town that no one thought much about, but that changed the world. Made it back home, saw my other wise men. I told them the story. Some believed, some didn't. But I knew it was my responsibility to share what I saw. If you do know the Son, you have a responsibility to share as well. Y'all are going to have big gatherings this week. Some of you are going to have family coming, journeying further than we've journeyed to get to see Jesus. Cheating on airplanes, by the way, but still, journeying a far way. And some of them need to hear the story of what Jesus did, not just in a manger somewhere years and years ago, but in your life today. Will you share that good news? They may believe, they may not. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to share. So share, please. Let me pray.